If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
What is this thing he mentions, this word sunshine? What is
Well, I'm not real sure.
What does that word mean?
I'm not real sure. I think it once upon a time in a land far away.
I know that the parents have sons and daughters. Is that what?
No. This is I believe the word was S-U-N. S-U-N, not S-O-N. S-U-N.
Wouldn't that be soon? Wouldn't it be soon?
A short U. It's a short U.
Soon, you're a short
son.
U.
As a matter of fact,
oh, brother, is it depressing outside?
Oh, wow. I tell you, there was a little bit, a glimpse of blue sky yesterday.
Yeah, I saw
just
it.
A glimpse.
I saw it that 1 minute. Yeah, I saw it.
Mm-hmm. And then...
And nothing. I complained about it, by the way.
It's you like, complained
oh,
about it?
Oh, it's so sunny.
Too sunny. I need my sunglasses.
Oh, it's so sunny, but I can't stand it.
God, it's too bright.
Because that's what
it's
we
too
do.
Too bright.
That's what we do. No matter what it is, we complain
we
about
complain
it.
We complain about it. Yes, indeed.
But it is. I've got every light turned on in the studio.
Oh, you're not wearing your hat today.
I sent out for some movie studios to bring some Hollywood lights in here.
Oh, cool.
I can't stand when it's gloomy like this.
I know. And the fact that it's been running for so long here.
Yeah.
We are seeing a glimpse of things today. There may be a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Yeah. Tuesday, back with the clouds and rain, but partly sunny on Wednesday. Let's hope for that. That's New Year's Eve.
I've got some grilling New Year's Eve appetizer ideas later, so I need it to be nice on New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right. So, as I said, you're not wearing your hat today like you did last week.
No, it's not freezing in here today.
And I saw you on TV wearing the hat, too.
That's right, because I was freezing outside. I wear the hat when the noggin is freezing.
Okay. Did you bring it with you, just in case it cools off in here?
It's in my car.
It's in your car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I disappear for about 20 minutes, you'll know.
That's where you're going to get your hat.
Going downstairs to get my chapeau.
I guess that's the proper name for that type of hat now. I just refer to it as the pancake hat.
Yeah. Where was it? Now we looked it up last week.
Newsboy.
As much as I'd like
to
spend...
Yeah, Newsboy, page cap.
Yep.
Yeah,
Newsboy.
Yeah, really interesting spending a half an hour talking about what my hat's named.
Well, it gave me an excuse to bring up Timmy from Long Chevrolet.
That's very true. That's the Andy's equivalent of the Andy Griffith Show with Schwani and me. I got to close the blinds in here.
You have to close the blinds?
I would rather look at closed blinds.
Than just that dense fog and over
looking,
the lake?
Ugh.
This is the second Sunday we've dealt with this. And Monday was unbelievable here.
Foggy.
Oh.
Yeah, foggy.
Yeah.
Could only be worse if the Bears were playing at this moment.
Yeah. As I said the other day, at least the Bears can't ruin your Sunday this week. They'll wait till next week to do that.
Oh, you don't think they're going to beat the Packers?
No. No. Yeah, and that game time, and it could be Saturday, it could be Sunday. They're going to announce the official game times and days after the games today.
Oh, so we don't know if they're playing.
We don't know if
Saturday
they're playing Saturday
or
if they're playing Sunday at this point.
Oh, I
they could play either day.
Yeah.
Can somebody call the NFL commissioner, because I need to know whether I'm doing a short show or a long show.
I know. I'd like to know whether we're doing a show on Saturday or whether we're doing a show on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. I've got hungry and angry Bears to deal with.
Yeah, you've got OB takes like 12 hours to get into the building.
Exactly.
So.
Well, he's saying hi to everybody. That's what it is.
He is.
Just
he
so
does
friendly.
Say, he does say hello.
He
everybody.
Does stop and say hello. Yeah.
He is very friendly.
Oh. Hamp is friendly also.
Very much so.
Yeah. Really, Andy's the only one on that show.
I'm the grump.
There's something about sitting in this chair that just makes you grumpy. Adam Sandler is so awesome.
And Goldie Hawn's have to.
I love the Hanukkah song.
He has four versions of that out now, by the way.
I know. He keeps updating it.
Yeah.
And each one is like better and better and better.
They get more funny as it goes along.
It does. So is this day five or day six?
Day five.
Today is day five.
Yeah. It started at night on Christmas Day. That was candle number one.
I tried to calculate it because I know it ends, Hanukkah ends January 2nd.
Correct.
So I couldn't figure, I guess the days, the day numbers begin after sun.
Yeah, because all the holidays begin after sundown.
Yeah.
So night one was the 25th.
Did you have a nice Hanukkah celebration?
Yeah, I worked, so it was cool.
Oh,
yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, I worked. I was over at the Mighty Number 9 for a little while.
Number 9, I saw you on the Number 9.
Yeah, be there in a little bit tonight as well, but trying to help out, and it's all that was worth it.
Shwani, did you have a nice Hanukkah?
Well, we celebrated a little bit.
Did you light a candle?
No, not really, but we did have a very nice Christmas.
Very nice.
I hope you did, too.
I did. Family, family, family.
Yeah.
And despite that, I still had a nice Christmas. Just
no
kidding.
No fighting or
just
anything?
Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, it was very, very nice. Very, very nice. I'm horrified by this Korean plane crash that took place yesterday. I was riveted to the coverage last night. And apparently, have they said officially that it was a bird strike? They're speculating that.
They haven't said officially that it was a bird strike. But there's also reports of the fact that the front landing gear did not deploy.
Yeah.
And thus, when it hit the ground, it skidded and hit a concrete barrier, bursting into flames. And 181 people total. That includes 175 passengers, 6 crew members, and
who have died so far.
The 177 have died.
Amazingly, there were some survivors.
Yeah, just like there was in the Azerbaijan strike last week. There were some survivors from that plane. Incredible.
And the jury is still out as to what caused that exactly, but
right.
bird strike keeps coming up over and over. Wouldn't you think that we would have, with all the modern technology, that just a bird or a flock of birds? Not sure how many birds it takes to bring a plane down, but
well,
wouldn't you think they would have some kind of something to
that's what
protect
happened
the planes?
That's
from?
What happened a few years ago with Pilot Sully on the Hudson River.
Right.
A flock of birds hit the engine and stalled everything. Amazingly and miraculously, everyone survived on that plane. But
is it the birds that they fly into the engines?
They fly right into the engines, and then just, the engines are just incapacitated completely.
How about some chicken wire in front of the...
Oh...
I'm serious.
But still let the air in, for the jets, because they require that air to pass through.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem, it's like such a simple...
Simple solution.
I am a simpleton. And this is...
I didn't want to say anything, but...
This is a simple idea, but wouldn't it seem like there would be something to prevent that? Because bird strikes happen fairly often.
We should get an expert here to text in or call in and see if we can get an answer to that.
Hey, let's do that.
Okay.
Great idea.
Mm-hmm. So we are following the
South Korean. We have any chicken wire experts out there? Could chicken... What? You just put some chicken wire on there and some duct tape.
Tape it on the engine.
Yeah, right.
So
how comfortable would you be looking out the window of a plane and you look out at the motor and there's one of the engines that's got chicken wire on top in front of it,
then the duct tape comes loose and it starts flapping.
Yeah.
And there was another story yesterday where a woman went out the exit door of a plane onto a wing and then waved for help. Now the plane was on the ground, I emphasize that, but not sure.
Why did you go out there?
I'm not sure. They didn't say. That was not explained. But apparently the plane had landed maybe she got impatient because she was toward the back of the plane and it was taking so long for everybody to get out. So she just decided, I'm going to go through this door.
Out the side door.
Yeah. And then discovered, oh, I can't jump from the wing here and land very safely. So not sure what happened there.
It's horrific, these plane crashes. And
there's nothing really conclusive about the one in Azerbaijan either.
Right, I know. Yeah. That's what I mean.
You know, it could have been mechanical error, and then but they're talking possible missile strike. Who knows? Yeah.
You know, this is one of the busy travel weekends of the year. It's got to be on people's minds, right?
Sure.
As they're boarding a plane, and there's nothing but news about the plane crashes, both of them. How comfortable are you getting on a plane right now to go anyplace?
We have bad weather here. We have bad weather out east. Tornadoes caused some flight delays and cancellations in Texas yesterday.
Right.
7,000 flights in all delayed yesterday nationwide. And snow in the California mountains on New Year's Eve.
Not a great weekend.
Lovely weather, yeah. And I would imagine the fog is starting to complicate things here at the airports.
Yeah. I mean, it's very mild. Last night when it wasn't raining, I took a walk, and it was very pleasant. But now, a morning like this is not the bald man's friend.
No. No, it's anything but pleasant out there.
Unless I have my chapeau on.
Your pancake hat.
I may go outside wearing an actual pancake.
Now that would stop traffic.
Is that a man with a pancake on his head? What? That's the guy from Channel 9. That's Tom Skilling.
Yeah, he's the guy that covers his grocery cart when he goes to the store.
Is that Billy Joel with a pancake on his head?
It's Billy Joel.
Walking down the street. My word.
And then one week it's a pancake, the next week it's a waffle.
A waffle. Maybe devise some sort of French toast device.
Hey, there you go.
Hit all the breakfast items.
Yeah. Dean's Pancakes. Uncle Dean's Pancakes.
I was trying to think if I should make some New Year's resolutions, and I probably should, but I couldn't think of any. But
that can last for about 15 minutes?
Well, this is a good one, to wear a different breakfast item on my head more often in the new year.
I can't wait for the omelet.
Scrambled eggs.
Right. Wait till it gets to corned beef and...
Corned beef and hash?
Corned beef hash day. Right.
Oh, that'll look great.
So Shawnee went to the theater the other night.
Went to two theaters.
Hmm. Been very, very busy on the entertainment front. First of all, going to see Million Dollar Quartet.
Yes.
Out at the Stolp Island Theater in Aurora that I've been raving about. And you came by my desk this morning, which normally I don't allow, but
I was waiting for the rehearsal, which never happened.
I like to save all the spontaneity for on the air.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happens.
I feel like if we talk before the show, then we got nothing to say to each other.
Yeah, all I said to you in the hallway is, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I just said hi to Andy. And
all good.
And then, you know, I was going to say more, and I was like, nah, save it for on the
save
air.
Save it.
Save it for on the air. But Chwani told me how much he loved Million Dollar Quartet.
Wow. It was such a great show. And the not only the show itself, but the venue, the Stolp Island Theater, the way you walk in, as you just described it, you know, when you first started talking about this, you walk in, it's like you're walking into the Sun Records building. And then when you walk into the theater itself, you're in the recording studio. Just wonderful.
Yeah.
And then at intermission, I'll always remember this. My girlfriend Gilda looked at me and she said, I can't remember when I've had this much fun at a show. I wish this could go on for hours.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is that the way in which the seats are situated there, you know, one half of the audience looks over on the other half. And it was almost as much fun watching everybody on the other side of the show laughing and smiling and carrying on with the musicians.
Because everybody's in fairly close proximity also. Both the audience members and the performers. So you are right in the middle of the action with that.
You sure are. The performers was great. And also, I must mention, I was the recording studio nerd.
You went back to heaven. They set up.
I went up and asked an usher, "Can I please go look inside the booth there?" And he said, "Yes, you can do that."
Sure. And then under his breath, "Dork."
Oh, those reel-to-reel tape recorders.
I went in there too because it was super cool to see
the classic Shure microphones that they were using, and then they wheel out an RCA 77DX.
You shouldn't even be able to do that in public. That's
like Gilda said, I haven't remembered the time I've had so much fun at a show.
Right.
But it was great, just great. And the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown, marvelous.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. I was saying that if you are of a certain age, you'll especially love this movie, but I've had quite a few people in their 20s, 20s and 30s, telling me that they went to see the movie and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be an all-ages movie about a musical legend for which people of all ages are familiar with Bob Dylan's music, and this explores his early career, his early days of becoming the folk legend, or music legend, rock and roll legend that he is.
Also exploring the 1960s, the early to mid-60s, because there was prominent mention of the Cuban Missile Crisis and John Kennedy's assassination, Malcolm X, civil rights. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's called A Complete Unknown. I gave it a Dean's List A.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're probably trending along that same way.
I am.
You guys loved it as much.
Yep.
So good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yep. Been a very cultured Christmas.
Yeah.
Very cultured Christmas.
You sound very cultured.
I do.
You sound very.
Well, my thanks to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
No, you first.
Oh, no, I insist you must go.
No.
I would never have it that way. Never.
Spread out.
Dave Schwann.
Oh, wait a minute, I can't find it now. Oh, wait, here it is. Thank you very much.
We've got Dr. Kevin Most waiting to go on.
So. I know, but thank you very much,
Uncle Dean. Preempt any of us.
And friends and neighbors, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices for the final far-flung forecast of the year. Takes us to Wabasha, Minnesota.
Wabasha,
Minnesota, which is northeast of Rochester, Minnesota. It is on the banks of the Mississippi River. Hmm. And that means that this time of year, eagles like to fly in and around the Mississippi as they winter here in the Midwest looking for food along the river. And, of course, that draws a lot of people along the river shores, the bluffs and the Quad Cities, and then down further in southern Illinois near St. Louis.
You ever been up close and personal with an eagle?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I was when I was in Alaska.
Yeah.
You see them everywhere.
Yep.
But there was one habitat where one was injured and was recovering, and you could go like pretty close behind a fence.
They're a lot bigger than you may think.
They are enormous.
They are very big birds.
They're scary looking.
Yeah, some of them have a 6 to 8 foot wingspan.
Yeah.
But since we're talking.
You can snap my head right off.
with your hat. Your hat and everything.
With their beak, my hat, everything would go.
But since we're talking about eagles and Wabasha on the Mississippi River, Wabasha is also home to the National Eagle Center, and a gentleman instrumental in the National Eagle Center has been fascinated with all things eagles all of his life. His name is Preston Cook. And Preston Cook was the man behind legislation after discovering that, as we might think, the bald eagle would be the national bird. It never was until now. He drafted legislation that got the attention of Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, legislation that was passed unanimously in Congress this year, and on Christmas Eve, President Biden signed a bill making it official. The bald eagle is now the national bird.
Yeah, isn't that something? Because yeah. The eagle has, you know, been a symbol. The eagles, it's on money.
It's on everything. The presidential seal.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was a surprise to many, as it was to me, that it was not, you know, officially recognized as such. But it is now, as of the legislation signed on Christmas Eve. But Wabasha, Minnesota, home of the National Eagle Center, and thanks to Preston Cook and friends, they've got fog up there, too, and it's only 32 right now.
Yeah. Which one's your favorite eagle?
My favorite eagle?
I like Glenn Frey.
I was into Don Henley. I like the drum and being able to
yeah, I like Don Henley. Too. Yeah,
Timothy
I like
Schmidt. Don Henley. I've been a big fan of all the Eagles. 941. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Our final show of 2024. Well, you went uptown. And what a pleasure to have with us on our final show one of our all-time favorite people to ever appear on the show, and appear he did many a year here on WGN, Dr. Kevin Most. You retired a year ago, didn't you?
How about it, Dean? It's been 1 year, which is kind of, I'm not used to it yet. I'm not comfortable with it yet, but it's a year. It certainly has flown by.
Yet we dragged you back in today. Just when you thought you could get away, we dragged him back on.
Yeah, and you know what, Dean? It's nice. It wasn't a drag back. You know, obviously I ran towards it instead of kicking and screaming, because I enjoy this so much and just enjoy everything that you guys do.
Well, likewise. We love having you on. We wanted to say Happy New Year to you for one thing, but through the years that you were on the show with us, one of the things that we always talked about at the end of the year are the health-related New Year's resolutions that people make. And that's going on like crazy and will over the next couple of days. People wanting to lose weight, change their diets, work out more. Where do we start with this, and how do we do this safely?
Well, I think there's two things about it. One is, how do we do it and succeed? Because if you look at New Year's resolutions overall, about 92% of them have already failed by the middle of February.
Right.
So if you take some grand thing and say, I'm going to work out every day and I'm going to join a health club, I could tell you, boy, save your money right now and think about it. But you make a good point as far as, how do we do this safely? You know, the individual who is going to start exercising dramatically, well, if you're overweight and you have heart problems or lung problems, certainly talking to your physician about how do you ease into it versus saying, you know what, I'm going to run a marathon. So I think there's two things. One is, set a goal that is sustainable. And then two, make sure that it's safe. And many of them you should discuss with your physician, whether it's diet related or exercise related.
So if it is diet related, is it better to, you know, simply avoid certain foods? Is it better to count calories? The best luck that I ever had in losing weight was counting calories with an app, which is on my phone, that is called, what the heck is it called? It's been a little while since I've used it. My Fitness Pal. And you simply enter what you're eating into it, and it counts the calories, and it, you know, you set yourself a goal, and it counts your calories, so you can see as you're going through the day how many calories you're consuming. So if you have a big cheat meal somewhere along the way, you know then if I'm going to stay within the parameters of my goal, that I have to back off a little bit on the next meal.
100%. And you had the discipline to do that, which was great. And that's probably the biggest thing, is the discipline in knowing objectively essentially what you're doing. Like you said, you set a goal. Okay, I'm going to do 2,000 calories in a day. And you monitored that throughout the day. Some people say, oh, you know what, I'm going to lose weight by X, Y, or Z, not eating. And you know what? That just doesn't work. certainly, the other good thing about that app, Dean, is it shows you the impact of fried foods. It shows you the impact of desserts.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're making some decisions saying, wait, do I want this piece of cherry pie, or would I rather have a turkey sandwich, you know, that is going to be more filling?
Right, yeah, and better for you in the long run.
Yeah.
So many people have had success in losing weight, at least short-term success anyway, by going the no-carb route. I think that's still popular, or going the keto diet. Are those effective? Are they safe in the long run? What's your opinion about those?
Yeah, no, I think they're both good and they're both safe. They're not long-term sustainable, so if you set a goal of I'm going to lose this much weight, you know, definitely carbs are one where you definitely can make a huge impact. You don't understand the pasta, the breads that we eat, the cookies, you know, the carbs that are in those. If you go to a low-carb or zero-carb diet, you can still be fine health-wise because you have plenty of carbohydrates in your liver that will support that. And then the keto diet, again, it's trying to tell the body, hey, you know what, I'm going to live on protein and not on carbohydrates. So certainly you're going to try to teach your body how to get rid of some of that fat that we supply ourselves or we end up with. But those are two. But I would say if you're going to do a diet, look at the Mediterranean diet or look at the DASH diet. Those are two good diets that show you how you can eat healthy for a long period of time versus, you know what, if you told me I couldn't have pasta or bread, in about 30 days I'd stop talking to you.
Yeah.
So I would make sure you get in a diet that you know is sustainable.
Yeah, as opposed to some of these diets, I don't even know what some of the fringe diets are, but I see them on magazine covers, you know, at the grocery store all the time. The grapefruit diet, there's this diet, there's that diet, where you only eat certain foods all the time. Yeah, who can do that? Nobody can do that. So, as you say, not sustainable.
Correct. And a lot of those, if you get on a diet like the Mediterranean DASH, you guys can Google it. It's a good diet, and it really shows how healthy people in the Mediterranean area, Italy, Greece, around that area, and how healthy they live. But the other thing I do say, Dean, is instead of taking a big, you know, this big resolution that I am going to run whatever, I tell people do micro resolutions. Do some things that are small. You know, I'm not going to have fast food for a month. Because when someone takes a resolution and then they fail, mentally they feel terrible, and physically they didn't gain anything. Whereas if you do some micro resolutions of, you know what, I'm only going to, if I'm a smoker and if I smoke a pack a day, I'm going to smoke a half a pack a day 3 days a week. These little things that at least start to impact your health that you can do, and then you feel good about yourself, and those then become sustainable.
What about portion control? Is that an effective weight loss technique?
100%. And it goes back to your app where you're looking at how much am I eating here? You know, I went out to dinner last night, or two nights ago, to an Italian restaurant and got a chicken dish, right? They gave me two huge portions of chicken and a portion of pasta, and I had bread and a salad. I ate barely any of it, and I was full. And I'm like, wow. We used to think going to Maggiano's is great because you left with all these leftovers, but you also ate a lot more at that seating than you should have.
Right.
So portion control is really good. Piece of meat should fit in your hand, not go outside of that. And then make sure you balance your proteins with some fiber as well, whether it be some fresh vegetables or a salad. But really, it comes down to let's not eat a whole big thing of pasta just because they gave it to us.
Right. I did something similar a couple of nights ago. Went to a restaurant, ordered, I forget what I ordered as my entree, but a little cup of soup came with it and a salad. So I had the soup, delicious. I had the salad, delicious. And, you know, we're waiting for the entree. And I said, you know what? Honestly, I don't need the entree right now. I feel perfectly satisfied, you know, if we just left right now. But it came, and I ate maybe like a quarter of it or something, and Took the rest home. But, you know, the portions that they give you at restaurants are enormous. Yes, you can take stuff home for leftovers. All that's very true. But the fact of the matter is you don't really even need that much, really, to feel satisfied.
No, you don't. And the other thing that's important at this time of the year is our lack of exercise, whether it be because of weather, whether it be because it gets dark at a certain time that's too early, or to go out for a walk after dinner. So we have a lack of exercise, and our body still says, I want to eat, because it's almost that caveman mentality of eating at this time of the year. So that's why we put on those 10, 15 pounds over the winter that now comes spring. We're saying, oh, my gosh, how do I get rid of this? Well, the way you get rid of it is don't put it on in the first place. And you do that by, like you said, portion control. Count your calories. Know what your intake is every day. It's very simple things that we can do, and yet obesity and type 2 diabetes is rampant in this country.
Yeah, from the text line, Dean, what is the name of that food app that you're talking about? It's called MyFitnessPal. It's right in the App Store. It's free. MyFitnessPal. And it, you know, if you use it and you're disciplined about it, you can. I've had my best results of weight loss when I followed that. I put my my doctor said to put an 1,800 calorie goal in it. And I did, and I was able to maintain that. I never felt starving or anything. There's a little bit of a learning curve when you're not eating these enormous portions that you once were. But it works, and you can keep track of what you're eating during the day. If you know you're going to go out to dinner that night, maybe you lighten up a little bit earlier in the day. But the app, again, is MyFitnessPal. The 847 area code is asking, what does Dr. Most think of Weight Watchers?
Well, you know, Weight Watchers, Dean, is very much like what you were just talking about in both ways. Diet, I mean, the portion control, as well as calorie counting. So they really do have a good situation where they set you up. The other nice thing about Weight Watchers, in my mind, is you have variety. You have the opportunity to change up your diet a little bit so that you have that, I don't get sick of eating grapefruits all the time, because I've had Weight Watchers where I have options of 10, 20, 30 different meals. So, you know, is it a gimmick? Not so much as, you know, it's a gimmick. It's really probably the discipline of doing it and doing it properly, counting your calories and watching the portion control that they give you. They give you the portion control. Now you go, oh, I'm still hungry. I'm going to have that slice of pie. Well, forget about the Weight Watchers. Then you just threw it out. You know, you just defeated exactly what they're trying to help you with.
This is an interesting question. What are some tips to put on weight as opposed to losing weight?
Well, you know, and that's a really good question, because right now we're seeing a lot of focus on individuals who are going through chemotherapy, you know, individuals who are just protein starved. But really, if you really want to put on weight, you look for, look at the shakes that they have, you know, in the protein shakes that they have. Those will definitely do it. I'm not a big fan of powdered proteins and creatine and all that, you know, that people think is going to build muscle mass. You'd rather put on good calories and then make sure that those good calories are used appropriately as you exercise. So, but milkshakes are really good, you know, for putting on weight. It's a dairy product. It gets you calcium in there. So certainly those high-calorie, high-caloric foods that are compact will certainly help you put on weight.
708 area code says, how does drinking alcohol play into a weight loss plan?
It doesn't. So I'll take it back. I'll say wine will play a little bit, but if you drink beer or you drink the hard alcohol, it certainly doesn't. Look at, you'll do everything that you're trying to do to keep to your 1,800 calories, but if you have two beers, you just took up 400, 450 of those calories with two beers. It's the same with sodas. It's the same with the some of the drinks that you're going to have, whether it's going to be alcohol or whether it's going to be soda, those are going to be the ones that are going to eat up calories very quickly. So alcohol, not really good. Still, I also look at the benefit of red wine, from the heart benefit of it, that a glass of red wine is good. Caloric-wise, not going to blow you out of the water, and yet you're still doing something good for your heart through your diet.
How about this for a New Year's resolution? Get updated with all your immunizations. We're right in the middle of flu season right now. COVID seems to be popping up all over the place. Where should people be with their immunizations right now?
Dean, you hit it on the head, and you're hitting it right at the right point, because I was going to say, if we didn't talk about it this week, I'd love to talk about it when we come back after the new year. You look at what's going on right now. Flu is just skyrocketed in the last 2 weeks. Was this the repercussions of Thanksgiving travel? It could be, but it's only going to be worse now with Christmas travel as well as New Year's parties. Whooping cough, we're seeing the highest number of whooping cough that we've seen in 10 years, 6 times higher than it was last time at this year. Like you said, COVID, we're seeing the COVID bump. It's gone up the last 2 weeks. It continues to go up. And the bad thing is some of those we can protect ourselves. Our COVID vaccination rates are abysmal. They're around 18% for the country. Flu, we're a little bit better. We're at 40%, but we really should be closer to 50%. And whooping cough, you know, that's a tough one to track as far as how, because it's not an annual shot. It's a shot that you need to get on a regular, you know, the one time. So you hit it right at the right point, Dean. These numbers are going up. You just watch. If you want to see something interesting, go to the CDC website, where you can manipulate the maps. Go back a week for influenza and move up a week. You will see how it just exploded over the last week. And this data lags 7 days. So really, we're already 7 days past that. So I would say to people right now, if you haven't gotten your COVID shot, and if you haven't gotten your flu shot, please do. Check with your doctor to see if you're up to date with your whooping cough. And then you can talk to them about RSV as well, because that is really going kind of gangbusters in adults right now.
Happy New Year to one of the best guys there is, Dr. Kevin Most. Look forward to having you visit with us occasionally in the new year, Kev. Thanks so much.
You got it, Dean. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You know how everybody this time of year roll out their lists, their best of for 2024? We're going to do that here this morning with our favorite A-list interviews that we had.
I saw the lineup.
Oh, nice.
Quite a lineup.
Yeah, we've got some pretty heavy hitters that we've talked to in the year 2024. Of course, my favorite moments of the year are every moment that I spend with you, Shwani, and you, Andy.
Oh.
Right back at you. It's been a fantastic year.
Shwani.
May I reciprocate?
Shwani.
Thank you.
You're supposed to say like Andy. It's right back.
Yeah, right back at you.
Right back at you.
Yeah, whatever.
Too little, too late.
Coming up in just a few moments, the stars of one of the biggest movies of the year, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, and our one-on-one interview with Carol Burnett is coming up. Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande from one of the biggest movies of the year, likely to go on to all kinds of Oscar nominations, and it would not surprise me if it might be the Oscar-winning Best Picture of the year. Certainly was one of my top picks of 2024. Wicked, Part 1, has already taken in $580 million at the box office. It is the third highest grossing opening weekend of the year, behind Deadpool and Wolverine, and also Inside Out 2. Earlier this year, we sat down and talked with the entire cast of Wicked, and we're going to share my interview with the two stars. But there is some Wicked news this morning that starting on New Year's Eve, on December 31st, you will be able to buy or rent Wicked on digital streaming platforms that include Prime Video and Apple TV. So you'll be able to watch Wicked at home for New Year's Eve. It is a nearly three-hour-long movie, but this digital version will also include some behind-the-scenes featurettes, bonus content, things that were not available when you went to see it at the movies. So, again, Prime Video, Apple TV, December 31st is when Wicked will become available to rent or to buy at home. In the meantime, let's go back for my favorite A-list interviews of the year, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. I've seen many stage versions of Wicked. I have never seen chemistry like I saw with you two last night.
Thank you.
Can you describe what that's like when you first met each other or first got on set and did your first scene together? There must have been some kind of electricity between you. Ariana, was there?
Me first? I don't know. I mean, from the moment we met, we knew we loved each other.
Yeah.
And we had made a commitment to take care of each other and to be our fullest, most honest selves. Mm-hmm. Because that was the way we would be able to take the best care of each other, you know? And we really did.
Yeah. And we just had that conversation, like that actual conversation happened with us.
The first day.
The very first day.
And from there,
we are agreeing to take care of each other. And whatever you need, I have. And whatever I need, you have.
Nothing you can't say.
Yeah. And that's how we conducted ourselves within our relationship outside of the characters, which I think just gave us the permission to do that with the characters too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to comment on your... Please. Wow. Look at that.
Aren't they the best?
Ariana, aren't you afraid she'll put out your eye?
Never. Oh, no. It would be my honor. Please poke them out.
I would never.
Please poke them out.
I was injured with Cynthia's nails. Yeah, exactly. Can you, Cynthia, talk to me about your history with the show?
Yeah.
Did you grow up?
I grew up with The Wizard of Oz and The Wiz. That's sort of my coming to it. And then when I went to drama school, I was about 20 years old. And when I felt sort of like out of sorts and out of place, a friend of mine would grab a bunch of music books and librettos and go find a piano room, and one of those librettos happened to be Wicked. And so for the 3 years I was at drama school, I was singing and learning the music of Wicked without having ever seen the show. And then on my 25th birthday, I took myself on a solo date to see Wicked for the first time.
The most Elphaba thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with Elphaba. I fell in love with the story of a person who is so different that people don't necessarily understand her, but still it insists and persists on being herself and rising above it all and choosing not to be held down by it. And I just connected deeply with that, you know? That's how I got to it. And then that at 25 is what happened. And then at 35, 10 years later, I was asked to come in, and that's when I got the movie.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a journey.
Kismet.
Yeah. Ariana, it's tangible to notice that your difference in the style of the way that you sing with your hits, the way that you're doing it with this, and I mean, it sort of signals a shift in your future. Am I reading too much into it?
No, that's so incredibly kind and generous, and I hope so. But no, that's really kind. Of course, Glinda has a very different voice than the one that I use for my pop music, but that's been one of the greatest joys of this whole experience, has been sort of disappearing into her in as many ways as I could and as we could. Mm. We were gone. We were lost in the sauce.
Totally.
So while of course we can take the hat off and put the pop hat on, it's just been a joy to do this in that way. And thank you for saying that, because that was one of my main goals.
Yeah, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, two of the biggest A-listers in the world, one-on-one with us here on WGN this morning. By the way, speaking of movies, Mufasa, The Lion King, will wind up being the number one movie of the Christmas weekend, followed by Sonic the Hedgehog 3. After that, it was some new movies like Nosferatu, the scary remake of the 1922 film, I believe it was. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, in the top five. I know a lot of you are, you know, hitting the movies for this weekend. Wicked, of course, is out there going strong. There's even a sing-along version of Wicked that's out there right now for this week, where the words are up on the screen and they encourage you to sing along. Coming up next, more of my top A-list interviews of the year. Doesn't get any better than Carol Burnett. 1021, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Playing back some of our favorite A-list interviews of the year. And it's always a treat anytime that Carol Burnett can join us in a one-on-one interview. Now at the age of 91 years old, she is going strong, not only with reruns of her show, which are constantly played everywhere, but also appearing and making an appearance on the series Palm Royale this year with Kristen Wiig and Ricky Martin, and just a star-studded cast. But she really stood out of the whole thing. Just before Palm Royale aired, we hooked up with Carol Burnett one-on-one.
Robert, shake me another martini, and then let's play doctor.
Walk up to him, tell him face to neck.
Yes, let's go. Oh, are you hungry? No? Okay,
we can wait.
In its first season, Palm Royale is a hit for Apple TV+. Kristen Wiig, Ricky Martin, Allison Janney, all starring in the story of a woman trying to take her seat in 1969 Palm Beach High Society. A standout in the cast, though, Carol Burnett, playing Norma Delacorte, a role for which she has been nominated for another Primetime Emmy Award. In a Chicago exclusive interview, she told me how much she admires her co-star, Kristen Wiig. The actors around you, especially Kristen Wiig.
I mean,
she is the new Carol Burnett, in my opinion.
We really have chemistry. I know that, and I was so happy that I had so many scenes with her, and we had a good time. They were all so wonderful. I mean, you know, I when they called me and asked me to do this role, all they had to do was tell me who was in it. Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, Ricky Martin, Leslie Bibb, Josh Lu, on and on. I said, I'm in. I don't care what you want me to do.
You must hear all the time how much people still love watching the reruns of your variety show. I would be one of those people that I do watch it just about every day and laugh my head off, even though I know the lines, I know what's about to happen. It is so classic. Is that something that comes up all the time for you?
Well, I have some news. Do you ever watch TCM, the old movies?
Of course.
The classic movies? Well, I'm hooked on it. So, because I was raised going to those movies with
people,
you know, so I remember a whole bunch of them. So I met Dave Karger, who is one of the hosts of TCM a few weeks ago at a function. And my husband, we were talking to him, my husband said, you know, Carol, Carol and I have an idea. And he said, what is it? I said that Carol would come on TCM and talk to Dave Karger, and they would show, for instance, the full movie of Mildred Pierce, say, with Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
Then he'd come to me, and I'd be talking to Dave. Then we show the takeoff that I did on my show. They bought the idea. They picked six or seven of the takeoffs, and they're going to show the full movie and then our satire on it. Which,
do you know when that will be?
I think it's they're going to show it in December.
Starlet, I love you. That gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window, and I just couldn't resist it.
The great Harvey Korman and Carol Burnett in the takeoff of Gone with the Wind, Went with the Wind, from Carol Burnett's variety show. And Carol, just before that, one of our many conversations that we've had with her over the years, that one when the series Palm Royale was just coming out on the air. Still to come, we'll get to more of our favorite A-list interviews of the year. We've got lots of them to share with you today, including when Kevin Costner was in town promoting his Yellowstone film trilogy. Turned out to be a huge bomb, but it's interesting to hear him talking about it now, you know, after the fact. And it was great just to have him on the show and talking about his career. That's coming up for you in a little while. Also, it was 2024 when Jason Alexander, George Costanza from the Seinfeld television show, made his Chicago stage debut over at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater in the comedy The Judgment Day, which was very, very funny. I haven't heard any word on whether or not it's going to be opening on Broadway. It certainly should. It was hilariously funny, but we spent a pretty good amount of time with Jason when he was in town. We'll share that conversation with you coming up. And also, I wanted to mention that we're going to be talking with Chef Klaus Lauter from the Weber Grill Restaurant Cooking School today. They are doing a special New Year's Eve event, that's super fun for any kind of foodies. But today we're going to be talking about appetizers for your New Year's Eve parties that you can do on the grill. So we've got a lot coming up in our slightly abbreviated show today until 12:30. It's all coming up following a check of WGN News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's true. And we continue this morning with our look back at our favorite A-list interviews of the year. Most appropriate during our weekly theater segment that we focus in on, I think, one of the best theater events that we had in Chicago. We had plenty of them, by the way, including Death Becomes Her, which has just opened on Broadway and is getting rave reviews. I have not heard anything yet about the Jason Alexander comedy, Judgment Day, that premiered at the Shakespeare Theater this past April. A really funny comedy about a very unscrupulous lawyer who has a near-death experience and is fighting to save his life from eternal damnation. Jason Alexander was absolutely great in it. I expect at some point it's going to debut in New York. It was that good. But before it opened here in Chicago, we sat down one-on-one, not only with Jason, but one of his co-stars, Daniel Breaker, who was also terrific in the show, and talked about Seinfeld. We talked about the Larry David series, Curb Your Enthusiasm ending, and, of course, about Judgment Day with Jason Alexander. Jason, I'm shocked to hear that this is your Chicago stage debut here.
Are you shocked?
I am because I know you love theater, and
I do.
Most everybody comes through and does something.
Daniel and I have probably been doing, well, I'm a little older than him, but we've probably been doing theater the same amount. But everything I did for the theater was either you're in LA or you're in New York. That was it. I really haven't been on the road. I haven't done a lot of stuff outside, you know, like regionals, good regionals, or. So this is my Chicago stage debut. In fact, I used to come here to do like a commercial. So I'd fly in, spend the day, have a great dinner, and fly out. And they go, "How was Chicago?" I go, "I don't know.
I didn't see one bit of it." I understand. Well, what's your impression so far of
We've been having an amazing time. Well, this play, Chicago Shakespeare, is extraordinary, gorgeous. The experience of being on the pier and walking down through that pier and all those very happy people just to go to work is fantastic. But I've been to a little storefront theater, I think it was called the Rivendell or something like that, where a friend of mine from college was performing. Steppenwolf, we saw an extraordinary, extraordinary play at Steppenwolf. I'm going to the Chicago Improvised Shakespeare Company in a couple of days. I mean, this is just a theater town.
It's theater
and it resonates. And I, if he would do Hamilton one more time, just one more performance here, I would probably go.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Just do it now. Just do it now. Come on.
I charge a lot.
But that's not your only Chicago background, right? I mean, you're kind of from the area. You've bounced around a little bit.
Chicago feels a little like a home away from home. Being an Army brat, I was my dad was stationed in Joliet for a while. We were also in the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois for a while. So coming back here just always feels like a return to something. Still got a lot of friends and family here, so it's always great coming back to Chicago. I love this town. I mean, the food alone is just like top notch in this city. So we're always doing a lot of food field trips.
Well, and when Daniel says it's top notch, this man is it fair to say you're a master chef?
Oh, okay, sure. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and he knows like master chefs everywhere we go.
Nice.
He has introduced us to more insanely good food, both of his own hand and
wow.
my friends.
Yeah. So. I started during the pandemic, because we couldn't get any guests to come on the show. And I'm a cook. I'm certainly not a master chef. But they said, you cook. Why don't you do a cooking segment on the show? And I said, well, it'll be comedy, probably, because I'm sure I'm going to screw it up. And it's been going for like 4 years now.
Wow.
It's like through the roof. I should have you come on and
by all means, I would
do
love
some
to,
cooking.
Yeah,
that would
I'll,
be so
I'll come
fun.
On by. Yeah, I love to fish, so I could go pull something out of this big old puddle over here
yeah.
and cook it.
Yeah, and you could be the official taster, Jason.
Happily.
Perfect.
Yeah,
happily.
That would be fantastic. So talk to me a little about Judgment Day. Why you chose to do the world premiere here, why you chose to do this production in particular.
Well, it's a little bit of them choosing us as well. As soon as I read it, I was introduced to it during the pandemic, did it as a Zoom reading, and even in that sort of artificial setting, it was very funny. The role I get to play is really kind of, you know, just a madcap little romp. And then Chicago Shakespeare stepped up and said, we'd like to do it. And Moritz, our director, came on. And just the pieces started to fall together where it was too interesting, too compelling to not do it. In fact, the only thing that was, I have a new grandson, and that's the only thing that I was going, how do I weigh that? And but it's just been a lovely experience. It can be a little sometimes weird building a new piece because nobody's sure, you know, and especially a comedy where we're in the third week of rehearsals, nothing's funny to us anymore. But
way to sell the show.
Yeah, right. It started very funny. I remember we were laughing.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
But just the feeling in the room, the collaboration in the room, they've assembled, starting with this gentleman, just a wonderful group of people and extraordinary actors, and it's been joyful to be in your town in this theater and on this project.
Tell me about your character.
Sammy. Once again, I play an utterly charming human being. Sammy is a very unscrupulous, amoral lawyer, a guy who's completely consumed with himself, who I give nothing away by saying he has a near-death experience that changes him, and he realizes that he has very little time left to try and do good things, not necessarily become a good person, but do enough good things. So imagine a horrible person trying to figure out how to do good things, and he begins that journey by visiting the neighborhood priest, who very quickly assesses, I should have nothing to do with this man, but can't help himself. And it's just, it's the journey that they both take and how they're influenced by each other.
Yeah, and Daniel, you are said priest?
Yes, I am. I play a Father Michael, who is the antithesis of this jerk over here, who also has maybe a bit of a question of faith, but we sort of find that as it develops. But the play is so interesting because this part of it is a touch of a buddy comedy, and you put this odd couple together and watch them go at each other. It's a lot of fun.
It is indeed.
Jason, for you, it seems like you're gravitating to more stage projects now. Is that correct?
I guess so. To me, it's just like going back to what I had in my head in the first place. I grew up in New Jersey. When I discovered theater. It was all about New York. And my fantasies as a kid were all about, can I get over the river and start working in that town? And then I was lucky enough during the 80s to do exactly that. I had no aspirations about film or television. I just thought, well, it'd be great to make a living in the theater. And then that lovely left turn happened and all this nice stuff began. But I'm thrilled to be back, you know, kind of... The theater's the only thing I trained in. I don't know anything else about.
Yeah.
I've directed movies. I'm going, I don't know what lens you should put on this thing. We use lenses? Is that what we use here? Okay.
What is this word you say, lens?
Yeah. I don't know why those movies weren't successful.
But just take the lens cap off.
Take that off. I know that's how. But yeah, it just feels like a return to what I had started to do in the first place. And it feels very fortunate. They've got me working on, you know, on both sides of the table. I get to direct a little. And
yeah. Which do you like better? Because you've had tremendous success, especially lately.
Oh, thanks. It depends on the piece. I find that it's not rocket science. Directors collaborate with many, many, many more people in a sort of engaged way. I find that really interesting. Oftentimes when people offer me stuff as an actor, it's not the most compelling thing in the world. And so generally the directing opportunities buzz a little more, but, you know, and then you get a piece like this where that is, you know, I'm very happy to give that hat to Moritz and try and figure out how to do this part.
Yeah. What's the plan for this production? Is it Broadway bound? Do we know?
I mean, if it's good, let's hope we can continue going on somewhere.
Is that the hope that?
I mean, right now it's like, you know.
You know,
we already know it's not funny. You already told us.
Yeah, no, it's a drag.
Yeah.
You know, I guess everybody still has that fantasy of, can we get it to New York? Would it work in New York? Because not only is that, I guess, our national mecca for at least commercial theater, but stuff that is played on the New York stage then tends to have a nice life going back out into the world. Who knows? We this has yet to be in front of an audience.
No.
So one of the wonderful things about Chicago is this is such a great theater town, and the people go to the theater, and they really, I think they feel, I mean, you know this more than I do, I think they feel like they are a part of teaching new plays and new productions what they've got and where they need to do their work.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Chicago audiences have such a hunger for theater and an appreciation for the wide range, the diversity of theater. I think that's such a thrill to see that. You know, I still think that these are some of the most diverse audiences I've seen in spaces in my time coming here, and that's very comforting to know that there are people that are willing to see a Shakespeare, a comedy, a drama, something they've never seen before, a one-man show, or whatever, that they love live arts. It's still a very magical and powerful art form, and it thrives here in the Midwest.
I can't tell you the number of actors, producers, directors who want to bring their shows to Chicago for those very reasons, because they get such valuable feedback from audiences. I was telling you before we started recording that Mel Brooks is the first name that comes to my mind, because he said he would absolutely never open a show unless he brought it to Chicago first, for what he gets, the feedback that he gets from the audiences. And I've seen him during the pre-Broadway run of The Producers. I went to see it more times, really, than a grown man should have, because it's such a fantastic show, as you well know, being in it for such a long
time. Been through it a few times.
Yeah. Watching him, you know, taking notes and changing and just looking around at reaction.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what you all, that's the stage that you all will be in once this opens, and getting feedback, right, from
the audience?
Yeah,
Chicago will tell us. It will tell us what this show's really about. You know, we all think we know, but it's a for a really funny comedy, and I promise you, it's a really funny comedy. But it's also about some things, and Chicago, I think, will tell us how rich it is, or if it needs a reshaping. I always think about one of the biggest phenomena in commercial theater right now is Wicked, this town told Wicked where it needed to go. You know, it was not working here, and they really heard the Chicago audience, and they went literally back to the drawing board, went back into rehearsal, and produced the show that they have today. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that our play needs to do that. I think we're very close to our full flavor bouquet. But it will be, it's a great learning experience when you introduce a new piece to an audience and that audience is smart, good things happen.
Yeah. Is this the longest period of time that somebody has talked to you and not brought up Seinfeld?
You're
10
close.
Minutes.
Yeah. You blew it. You just blew it.
Another
30 seconds you would have had.
I can't even.
What's Seinfeld?
Well, he's a very successful comic. I'll introduce you to him. Yeah. I know him.
Is there a day that goes by where people aren't quoting back to you George Costanza-isms, episodes of the show? Because I watched the children's party episode the other day, just happened to be on, and I've seen it a million times, crying, laughing.
You know, the clown is Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau, I recognized his voice, and looked it up.
People do tend to bring, I tend to remind them of it.
Yeah.
They.
Is that good? I've known actors that embrace the character for which they are best known, and others that just want to distance themselves and put it in the past. Put it like, respect it, but it's something that I used to do.
So these guys know, I won't tell you the whole story, but I will tell you that most of the people that come up to me, the show has been more than just something they watched. It for many of them who care to approach me, they want to tell me that they were going through something difficult in their lives and that the show was incredibly helpful to them to retain their sense of humor or just whatever. It kept them afloat and was part of their process of getting back on their feet. To be part of anything that was so successful for us, that actually seems to have served people, moved people, touched people, lightened them, you can't get upset about that. I mean, this is a kind of a selfish profession. I don't know about Dan. I do it because they pay me and it's fun and I meet nice people, but I never thought of it as the giving tree. I never thought of it as serving the community around me. And something like Seinfeld has taught me that sometimes it does more than just make people giggle.
Yeah. There's been so much talk over the past week or so about the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale being so similar to your finale, the Seinfeld finale. Did you see it?
I have not seen the finale yet.
Oh, wow.
I've been a little busy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But everybody has to watch it now. Everybody's told me about it.
Yeah, you've heard. I mean, are you surprised that they kind of went back?
No, only that Larry is so damn clever. He's so smart. And I'm one of the few people that like the Seinfeld finale. I can't judge it artistically, but for a show where we as a group were not terribly sentimental with each other, he found an organic way to bring back all the actors that had really been impactful and helped build our success. And so we got to share the wrap party with all of them, and I thought that was just a gorgeous thing to do. And so I was always a fan of our finale.
Yeah, and he, I'm sure everyone's told you, but then that's kind of what he did with his own finale.
It worked once. We'll do it again.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
There you go. Jason Alexander, one of our favorite A-list interviews of 2024. That was at the occasion of the premiere, the world premiere of his comedy called Judgment Day. Jason Alexander, and a big thanks to him and all of the theater performers that we talk to each and every week here on the program. We bring in performers from around the Chicago area and talk with them about their productions. Many of them come in and perform live for us every week. We're very thankful to all of them, and we're very so thankful to have so much great theater to report on here on WGN Radio every Sunday morning here, as we've done for years and for decades before us, with the great Roy Leonard, who really started it all. Right now, we've got productions of Les Mis that are must-see productions in the Chicago area. Been telling you about Frozen, the Broadway musical that's out of the Paramount in Aurora. Been telling you about The Little Mermaid that is at the Drury Lane Oakbrook right now. We've got productions going on at Chicago Shakespeare. There are productions going on all over for those of you who have a little bit of time off right now for the holidays and you want to catch a great show, not the least of which is Million Dollar Quartet, which is at the Stolpe Island Theater, this adorable little intimate theater that's just down the street from the Paramount in downtown Aurora. And they've been doing a production of Million Dollar Quartet there that is so interactive. I mean, when you walk into the theater, Shawnee can chime in on this because he just saw it a couple of days ago.
Yes.
You walk into the theater and you're walking into the historic Sun Records studio.
And off the street, because they've recreated a sidewalk with a curb, and you walk into the main office of what would have been Sun Records. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And you talk about being immersed into a show what the show is about.
It starts the second that you step into the theater. And it is about that historic night when Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, and who am I forgetting?
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, right.
All performed together at the Sun Records Studios. And it's because it's an intimate theater, because the audience is so close, you could literally reach out and touch the performers. It is incredibly immersive and highly, highly recommended.
And not only that, at the end of the show, I'm not really giving anything away, Jerry Lee Lewis plays his classic hit, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On.
Oh, he goes
Everybody's
nuts.
Dancing.
Yeah, he goes nuts. He goes nuts during that performance.
The energy that those people exude out there. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And it's Dave Schwann approved. So we have an early end to the show today, preempted, but not for Hamp and OB.
No.
Today. It's for the Northwestern game, right?
Yeah. So it's a great game today because Northwestern is facing Northeastern.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're actually facing that direction, but they're taking on Northeastern. Yes.
They ought to. Each team ought to face. Yeah.
Northwestern should face Northeastern. Northeastern should face Northwestern.
Right.
And there you have it.
Right. Then you put your left foot in and you take your left
shake
foot
it all
out
about.
And shake it all about. Right. Dave Bennett and Billy McKinney at, 12:15.
12:15, yes.
12:15. I was told 12:30.
Uh-oh. Quick adjustment?
I planned the program out, you know, meticulously, Shawnee, as you know.
Oh, I know. You were hard at work when I saw you before, this morning, about an hour before, and you said, go away.
Yeah, I had my slide
rule out. Go away.
I was...
go away.
Did you ever figure out what a slide rule was for?
Calculations.
Like, how?
Multiplication, high-end, higher mathematics. Is what a slide rule is.
That's why I never used one.
That's right. That's why I never used one either.
What song has that lyric in it? What a slide rule is for. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's no. Don't know much about history, right?
Not much. Right. Don't know.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Don't know what a slide rule is for.
What a wonderful world.
Is for.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what a slide rule is for either. So,
what a wonderful world it would be.
Right there with James Taylor and all the rest of them who sang that.
Yeah, that song goes way back.
Sam Cooke originally.
Sam Cooke did it originally, right.
The great Sam Cooke.
Yep.
Shawnee, do you realize it's our final show of the year?
That's right. It is. And so I wish you a happy new year when I see you again next week.
Right, that's right. But we have not mentioned, we have not done single Three Stooges or Andy Griffith. Reference.
I was about to, when you were talking about your hat, I was going to just bring up, take off your hat.
Raise your right.
I've been laughing about that all week.
There we go. Our final show of 2024. And I certainly would be remiss if I did not thank all of our loyal Sunday morning listeners It's a crazy crowd that we have. Was it this year? I can't remember now. I don't know if the subject of marijuana came up.
I think that's been a year already.
Was it last year?
I believe it was.
2023?
Yeah, I remember what a big deal you made out of it.
But we found out that our listeners are pretty much stoners.
They enjoy it.
Yeah, they're stoners. We have an audience full of people with glaucoma, apparently. But on a serious note, though, we get so many nice texts and emails.
We have the best listeners in the world. No doubt about it.
Sunday, we get so many notes from people saying we make them laugh on Sunday morning. It's nice to escape the worries of the world, you know, and all the serious things. Because, I mean, unless there's breaking news about something, we try to keep it kind of light and have some fun and some laughs. And I speak for Schwani and Andy, too, at the same time. We really appreciate that you listen every Sunday.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And the nice things we hear during the week, not to mention, you know, going out to live performances like Tree Time. Right. People take their Sunday morning just to be out there and spend the morning there.
Yeah. It's nice that people do that, but, you know, I hear from people all the time. I sit and, you know, I'm going to the grocery store and you guys are talking about something, and I sit in the car for 20 minutes listening to you guys.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm sitting in the parking lot here laughing. Yeah.
Laughing by myself. So I will say you're a little nuts too.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're not the only ones.
People walking by, the people laughing in the car going into the store saying, there's something going on in the parking lot here.
Yes.
Security.
We appreciate you very, 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 very much. So thank you very much. Do you know what I saw yesterday? I did my grocery shopping on Saturday morning like I always do.
Mm-hmm.
I did not cover up. I haven't covered up my groceries for a long time.
Wow.
You're being less and less inhibited.
I don't know what's happening to me.
Maturity.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put it that way.
Really?
We'll put it that way. Maturity.
We'll give you maturity in the last week of the year.
I was shopping yesterday and there's a whole aisle of Valentine's Day candy out already.
Oh, yeah. Valentine's Day candy, cards.
Are
sure.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. Yep.
Can't we have January 1st come before? Come on. Do we need? Who's buying Valentine's stuff now?
Well, they will be. January 2nd, if not the 1st.
Put it out then.
Yep.
Let me get my half-price Christmas candy first. You know me, I love a candy bargain.
Yeah, you do. You do. That's why you wait for the Greek Easter candy. That's your patented joke.
That's what I... Right. That's my standard joke for Greek Easter. So we can get the candy at half price, to which my mother would always say, That's not funny. That's not funny. And she, yes, it is, Mom. It is. It was 20 years ago when I first said it, and it still is. As I first said, it's not getting any clearer outside.
No, it's not.
And it's going to stay this way.
It's going to stay this way all day.
Yeah, all day, and maybe the rain that we've seen this morning might be mixed with a little bit of snow.
No.
And it will melt because it's going to stay in the 40s. But Tim Joyce was calling for some mixture of snow and rain tapering off overnight tonight. And then tomorrow, maybe we'll see a little bit of something we haven't seen in a long time, the sun.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And you got mad about that yesterday, I understand.
Well, just because I complain about whatever it is.
It's just too bright.
If it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too sunny, it's too cloudy. I got to complain for every season. No, but this weather, I've always been like this. When the weather's like this, it just completely brings me down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
What's that called? Seasonal affective disorder?
SAD.
Yep.
And a good acronym, too. Seasonal affective disorder. Yes. Yeah. So, no wonder you draw the, you know, shut all the blinds in the studio there and turn up all the lights.
I
don't blame you, really.
I shut the blinds. I don't want to look outside and see it dreary.
Yeah, well, you can't avoid it.
I rather feel like I'm in a prison cell.
You will see it when you leave the building.
Yeah. 815 area code. Dean Menards has their seed section out already.
Oh, wow.
Oh, for spring planting?
Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging. You know, that makes you think of warmer weather. I like that.
I guess so. I just don't like to rush things.
So if you could do it right now, what would you plant outside?
Tomatoes.
Oh, your tomatoes?
Tomatoes are my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a must. You know what I like best in the summertime? I've mentioned this before. I like going outside and picking stuff to make a nice fresh salad.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll pick some tomatoes, some cucumbers. I've done lettuce. I've done greens, but green peppers I always plant outside, and you take them inside and wash them up and make a nice salad. Super delicious.
And
708 area code.
Yeah.
I went to Dollar Tree store. They have St. Patrick's Day stuff out already.
Oh, wow.
God. Come on. Can we all slow down a little bit?
Are the Mother's Day cards out yet?
Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Mariano's 708 area code. Mariano's has Easter candy out already.
What?
Come on. Too much.
Well, you're going to have to wait a long time now, Dean.
Yeah, I know. The candy's really going to be stale by the time I get it half price. Coming up in just a moment, our one-on-one interview when Kevin Costner was in town. Going back for my favorite A-list interviews of the year this morning. This, of course, the theme from Yellowstone, one of the biggest success stories on TV. That's why everybody thought that when Kevin Costner went over to the movie side and tried to do something similar with his trilogy of films called Horizon and American Saga, that it would be a big hit. The first part came out, and it was a huge bomb, unfortunately, for Kevin Costner. It was over 3 hours long. It was spectacular looking, but there were definitely some major problems. And now the whole Horizon, an American Saga project, has been completely put on hold. But before part one came out, Kevin Costner was out there promoting the movie like crazy, and that included a visit to our WGN-TV morning news, where we did one of our epic walk down the halls with Kevin Costner that he enjoyed. And we sat down and had a nice chat with one of the world's biggest A-listers, Kevin Costner.
I enjoyed watching you at the Cannes Film Festival with your kids and you getting so emotional when they premiered the film. And you even getting teary-eyed during the whole thing. How do you describe like your feeling with that?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for it. It's been a journey. It started, believe it or not, in about 1988. Just thinking about this, almost trying to do it in 2003, and realizing that nobody wanted to make the one I had. So I, in typical fashion, I thought I would make four more. And so everybody go, oh, well, let's deal with therapy before you go any farther, Kevin. So I did. With my partner, John Baird, we wrote four more, and no one wanted to do that. And if ultimately, I turned to myself, and I thought, if I want to create things, I just have to look to myself. And I did, and I found myself in Cannes in France, in a place, this is a very American story, but when it was over, the people stood and they began to clap and they didn't stop. And I was caught by surprise, and my children were with me and had not seen that level of emotion. And I didn't know. I just kind of kept it bottled up. The camera was about this close for about 8-9 minutes. And finally, I shut out the noise and I went backwards in my life. And I just started collecting the breadcrumbs that would lead me to a moment like that.
Wow.
And it was pretty special.
I bet. And I was watching an old interview you did in 2000 with Michael Parkinson in the UK, and you talking about seeing How the West Was Won when you were 7 years old, and you were a city kid, and that kind of changed the trajectory of your life, that movie, didn't
Without
it?
Without a doubt, it did. You know, I went out and built three canoes. I went down the rivers that Lewis and Clark went. You know, I mean, there's, you know, our movies can do that to people. They mm-hmm. can move people to certain things, and our movies do it all the time, and sometimes they don't do it at all. And it's not that they have to. They're not history lessons. They're not whatever. But movies, I think, when they work at their very best, are moments that we'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Horizon, an American Saga, explain the concept of this, because this is going to be four parts. The first will be coming out on June the 28th. But this is the story of several families, several people, several individuals, all headed west for the hope of something better for themselves
just,
and their families.
It's just the beginning. I mean, this march across this nation was over a couple hundred years, and it was difficult, and so many people just didn't make it, learned on the backs of other people the level of experience. You know, we talk about a term, manifest destiny, moving across the country, and really when people would come across this country, they realized it was bigger, meaner, and just than they could even imagine. And once they were there, they weren't coming back. Goodbye meant goodbye. I mean, now we cross the country right in a plane. We have a meal, a movie, and a nap, and you got to put your seatbelt back on. When you said goodbye to your family back then, you weren't coming back. So what do you tell your family when you drag them out to a place where they don't even know how they're going to make it? And you simply say to them, we're going to be luckier than the people who didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have told ourselves. That's the promise of America, that if we're strong enough, if we're tough enough, if we're resourceful enough, we'll make it.
Is the way that you're putting this together with the four different parts, is that kind of inspired by how TV miniseries are going now, where people are binging very, very long stories?
Not really. I don't really follow too many things. I just don't know when. I only stop when I'm done, when I feel like the story has been told. And so if that not doesn't make me in fashion, or if that's just not the way people are viewing things, I don't really know what to do about that. All I know is that I kind of follow my heart, and I tell the story. I do it with people in mind. I wish somebody had made this movie for me. This is about people wanting maybe take their kids to this movie. There's a level of violence that's very real, but when you look at your daughters and you look at your sons and you'll say, I do want you to see this, because this is what happened. This is not a land in Disneyland, Frontierland. This is a place where people were on their own. And it's very heavy with women, our story. I don't know if you've seen it, but the women are the backbone of how this story is told.
Incredibly strong women in this story.
They're really performances inside a Western. I mean, acting performances. I think these women were extraordinary.
And so, your son's in this movie, your 15-year-old son.
Yeah, he was 13 when he was dead, and he has my name. That is his name.
He had
name
a good audition.
My character. You know, so I kind of, you know, figured out a way to have him close, but he was beautiful, and every night we'd drive home, and he'd say, how did I do? And I said, you did good.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah, there's Kevin Costner from just before Horizon, an American Saga. Chapter 1 debuted. Unfortunately, it was a bomb. People just did not go to see it. Horizon Chapter 2 was supposed to come out shortly thereafter. It never did. And we really don't know when 2, 3, or 4 may be coming to theaters or not. It was very, very ambitious. We'll keep you posted on all of that. We'll have many more of our A-list interviews featured on the WGN-TV Morning News throughout this coming week. But after a check of news, we will talk a little bit of food and New Year's appetizers coming up next. On our final show of 2024, one final taste of Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday. And today we're talking New Year's appetizers, something that we're going to be doing both tomorrow morning and on Tuesday morning, New Year's Eve morning. I'll be filling in for Anna Bellaval around town. Tuesday, New Year's Eve morning, I'll be at the Chopping Block Cooking School. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to be with my pal, Chef Klaus Lauter, who is the executive chef instructor at the Weber Grill Restaurant Cooking School out in Lombard. And Chef Klaus is on the line with us right now. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, my friend.
So have you been cooking up a storm, or do you let other people do the cooking? You take a busman's holiday for the holidays.
No. There's never a holiday when it comes to being a chef. You know, you're always busy. You're having fun. We've had a ton of holiday parties, private events, cooking classes going on this whole last month.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you love what you do, it's not work. You know, people say, you know, how can you do all that cooking and shopping and cleaning and preparation? But when you love it, it's joyful, right? I mean, that's the way that I look at it.
Well, yeah, one of the things that always sparked my interest in this business was that it's preparing something that people love. And you're doing something to make them happy, and that's exactly what I keep doing.
Yeah, exactly correct. Now, first of all, before we get into some New Year's appetizer recipe ideas, you guys are doing something really fun for foodies for New Year's Eve. Explain what you've got going on out there in Lombard.
Sure thing, Dean. Yeah, we have an awesome interactive experience at our cooking school in Weber Grill Restaurant Lombard. It's going to be starting at 7 p.m. We're offering a Prosecco toast. We're going to be doing some grill appetizers, including some grilled steak skewers, char-grilled oysters, some grilled butternut squash and bacon crostini. We're going to be doing a surf and turf of prosciutto-wrapped shrimp. We're doing a ribeye steak with a garlic butter compound butter. And for dessert, a bananas Foster.
Wow.
Each participant also receives a logoed Weber Grill apron. And we should be in and out well before you guys have to go celebrate the New Year's Eve.
Well before you ring in the new year. But, I mean, is this a sit-down dinner, or will people be in your back cooking school area and actually helping to prepare some of this?
Oh, this is absolutely hands-on class. It's going to be in the cooking school area. We have limited spots still available, so get on there right now. Get online. You can go for WeberGrillRestaurant.com, put in gift card 24. You can look at, gift 24 is the code. You can look at 20% off cooking school class gift cards. In addition to the spots available for that class, we have a delicious lineup of specials at all of our restaurants here in the Chicagoland and Indianapolis area.
Okay, very good. That sounds like that would be a really fun way to ring in the new year. I mean, I would love that.
Come and join us.
Well, to prepare plans already, but thank you. But I am going to be out. We're going to be doing some cooking together out at the cooking school tomorrow morning on WGN Morning News all morning. So I hope people will tune in for that. Again, if people want to get more information, is it WeberGrillRestaurant.com/cooking-classes, I think, right?
Correct. But if you just go to the main restaurant website at WeberGrillRestaurant.com, you just click on cooking classes, and they'll give a full lineup of classes listed well into June.
All right, very good. Yeah, it's probably a little easier with all the without all the slashes and dashes and all that stuff. All right, so let's get into some. I love the idea of doing some New Year's Eve appetizers on the grill. I mean, you know, the weather is going to be mild enough, minus the fog and drizzle and all that stuff, but how fun to do some things out on the grill, because you get some really tasty treats, but also that extra little smoky extra flavor. Where shall we start? I love your recipe that you sent me for the prosciutto wrapped shrimp. Talk to me about that.
Okay, yeah, so we all love shrimp on the grill. We know it's delicious with the smoky flavor it gets. But we're going to go and up the game on that. So we give a little bit of this garlic and herb marinade. And instead of wrapping bacon on it, we do some nice aged prosciutto ham wrapped around that.
Yeah.
Using a rosemary and thyme sprig as the skewer itself. So that's one delicious appetizer to include for your New Year's Eve.
And, you know, shrimp on the grill. I mean, people think that seafood is so difficult to make, period. but especially on the grill. It's maybe one of the simplest things to do on the grill, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's going to be some that's been more complicated than others, but, you know, shrimp, one thing, is probably one of the easiest out there. It's just have to watch it. They just not overcooking it. You know, to avoid it being, you know, rock hard. You don't want that.
Yeah, you don't you want it to turn a pink. You don't want it to, you know, if you overcook it, it gets a little rubbery, especially if you've got the prosciutto around it. You don't want to burn up the prosciutto. Are you doing that indirect? Or are you doing it on a griddle?
It's going to be a combination style. We're going to give it a quick flash, direct heat, about a minute on both sides. It's not going to have as much fat drip down as bacon would. And then we'll finish off an indirect heat. And that way you're going to allow a little bit of char on it and still to let's slowly finish off on the indirect side.
Okay. By the way, all these recipes that we're about to talk about here, WeberGrillRestaurant.com, and click on the recipe section, and you can find all of these recipes here. I was at a holiday party the other day, and they had a nice baked brie with, I think it was like an apricot preserve, something like that, in it, and it was really, really good. You're upping the ante a little bit, doing a grilled brie with cranberry sauce. That sounds like a fantastic appetizer for a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another way of really transforming the flavor of already a great product. So get your favorite brie that's out there. The best is one of the round wheels, and just brush it light, a little bit of oil, lightly seasoned, and put it up directly onto the grill for about 2 minutes per side. Just get some nice marks on it. And then I like to finish it off on a soaked cedar plank so that it keeps on melting and gets some of that cedar flavor going into it.
Okay.
Thereafter, when it's all nice and soft, then you're going to serve it up on a platter, either with some toasted crostinis, or if you want some of your favorite crackers, go around it and top it off with that nice sweet and tart cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Great for the holiday season.
You probably make your own cranberry sauce. It's not that difficult, really, to make. But there are some delicious pre-made in the deli sections of many stores. That's like that really nice cranberry orange. It's nice and fresh. You know, it's not like you're plopping it out of a can and putting it in the middle of your brie. Although I suppose you could do that, right?
Yeah, there's always that option with it. But otherwise, cranberry sauce, it's a whole lot of sugar. It's some time to let it cook and break down. And it's going to be pretty much creating a little syrup in there. So that's the main part of it, because cranberries themselves are, you know, going to be very tart and sour.
Yeah. So basically you're doing the cheese, the brie on the grill, and then adding the cranberry sauce after you're done, or are you also putting the cranberry sauce on the grill? Because I would think that it would just melt all over the place.
Correct. We're not going to put it while it's on the grill. Once we take it off, put it on the platter, then we just do a little topping of it from there, add a little cheese knife, and let people go at it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let me talk about something else that would be a really great appetizer. And I love grilled Brussels sprouts on the grill anyway. But what a nice idea for a little appetizer. You have grilled Brussels sprouts with caramelized onions, two of my favorite things. How fantastic would that be on an appetizer platter?
Well, you know, Brussels sprouts is really coming to its own little time right now. I mean, I remember growing up, I was not a big fan of it, but I am now. And the one thing about Brussels sprouts is we know it's a very dense vegetable. And if you just cook it straight up on the grill itself, it's going to take some time to get nice and tender. Sometimes you get too much char. So one of the recommendations I always have for people is to blanch it in the hot boiling salted water for about 2 to 3 minutes, so you start the cooking process. Then we strain it, get it cold, and then we go ahead and toss it in a marinade with some of the shaved onions, using a grill basket over direct heat. We're going to season them, put them inside of there, roast it out there. It's going to take roughly about 8 minutes until the onions are nice and caramelized, as well as the outer sides of the Brussels sprouts. So you get a little crisp, you know, it's you can get a little crisp to it, and it's a lot less oil than you would have by frying them up.
Yeah, that's the
best. And get a little top of the lemon aioli, Parmesan cheese, you're good to go.
Oh, boy, yeah, that's super delicious. I serve, when I do my Brussels sprouts on the grill, I don't blanch them. I'm going to start doing that, though. That's a really good idea because, you know, you want them nice and soft on the inside, but you want to get that nice char on the outside. That's an excellent idea that I'm going to steal from you.
And, do it.
Yeah, but when it's done, I sprinkle a little olive oil and balsamic vinegar on it, which adds a little sweetness to it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as long as my doctor doesn't know that I chop up some nice bacon and sprinkle that on there also. That's
super, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, that's super tasty. Good. Really, really good. And, you know, you put that out on a platter with some toothpicks. That's a fantastic little appetizer item.
Yeah, good, sure is. Good. And then, they, you know, you can keep it vegetarian that way without the bacon and then you have another great option for somebody else, right?
Yeah, good idea. 312-981-7200 if you've got questions or comments. But if you are interested in any of these recipes, WeberGrillRestaurant.com, there's a recipe section and you can find all of those in there. Now, one of the recipes that you have for New Year's Eve is for a roasted butternut squash and bacon crostini. What an interesting combination of flavors.
So here's also taking some of the nice seasonal ingredients. We get the butternut squash, which has natural sweetness in it. We're going to add additional honey to that one and chopped sage. And we're going to give this a small dice. We're going to put these roasted on the grill basket for approximately, again, about 6 to 8 minutes until it gets a nice char to it and get nice and tender.
Now, you're with the butternut, the butternut squash, are you slicing it? Are you cubing it?
Small diced.
With the skin on the butternut squash, or do you peel that off before you put it on the grill?
We're gonna peel it. Yeah, we're going to peel it, okay. Remove the seeds, cut them into small cubes. We're like talking about maybe about a third of an inch. In square size, okay. And from there, then we'll toss a little bit of oil, a little bit of honey, some sage, give it a nice roast up on the grill. Serving that with some grilled French baguette crostinis to go with that, and they're going to get tossed together with some of that nice applewood smoked bacon as well, too.
Very nice. So you take the, once the butternut squash is done, into a bowl with the bacon, right?
Correct. You can have your bacon already pre-cooked. So it makes it a little bit easier with it and chopped up. You can give it a nice little toss. Give it a little season to taste. Again, recipe is going to be included there. And on top of that, crostini, before we go ahead and put the butternut squash on there, we're going to take some whipped ricotta cheese.
Mm.
So you can have all the flavor that's going to be bursting from the butternut squash mixture paired up with a nice creamy texture of the ricotta cheese.
Yeah, okay. So let me see if I've got the steps down here. I'm going to seed and peel the butternut squash, cut it into, dice it into smaller pieces, which can be, no easy task, by the way. You have to have a really sharp chef's knife to do that with a butternut squash. But you're going to roast that up. And then in a separate bowl, you're going to mix it in with oil and apple cider vinegar and honey and some chopped sage, correct? Mix all that together?
Correct.
And then add the bacon into it. Toast up your baguette with some olive oil and put the butternut squash mixture on top of the baguettes and then top it with that whipped ricotta cheese, right?
We're going to do ricotta cheese first on the bread.
Oh, ricotta cheese
first. And then top it with the roasted up on that squash mix.
Okay, so that kind of holds everything in place, I guess. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Oh, that sounds delicious. WeberGrillRestaurant.com. I know everyone's going to be asking me for all of these recipes. How about something entree-ish for the New Year's Eve table? I know you've got a smoked and grilled pork tenderloin, which is a terrific item to put out, because that also can be, you know, somewhat finger foodish. Talk to me a little about putting all this together.
So with pork tenderloin, I just love it because it's so super tender, and it does not take too long to cook either. So I think with a lot of folks, they think, oh, that's going to take too long to cook. But this way, what we're going to do is we're going to clean off the silver skin from the outside of it, because it gets very very tough otherwise when you're cut into it. And then we're going to brine it first. We brine it like a nice, it's a wet marinade component. So you can use some apple cider vinegar in there, hard apple cider, salt, sugar. And you let that brine for approximately a couple hours. The larger the cut of meat it is, the longer it is.
Right.
As we remove that, dry it off, a little bit of oil and some good seasoning on there. And then we're going to go ahead and smoke it first. When it's raw like that, we're going to add some nice smoke flavor for it. So you can either go on the wood pellet grill or your traditional smoker itself, probably set it right around 225 to 240. Let that go for about at least a half an hour, 40 minutes. And then after that, we're going to finish it off with a nice hard char up on the grill and bring that temperature up to a good medium. Because, you know, pork tenderloin, it's like if you trust your supplier, you can have a nice little pink medium inside of your pork tenderloin for sure. And then just carve it up.
Yeah. Now, if you don't have a smoker, if you don't have a pellet grill, can you use your regular grill and just throw some wood chips, you know, in a separate compartment to create the smoke inside of your regular grill?
Yes, you can actually. There are some smoking chip boxes you can actually get.
Yeah.
And you put your soaked chips in there, place it over your direct flame. Or you can use like a little torch and let that start to cook up. Let that start to catch on fire and get some embers and get the smoke working. You can actually just continue to cook your normal burger, steaks, and chops on top of, you know, on your normal gas grill. And you can still apply some of that nice smoky flavor as well.
Yeah. Boy, that sounds good. I love a pork tenderloin. What I've done probably for the last year with pork tenderloin, I take the silver membrane off. You got to do that with any pork tenderloin. But then I butterfly it and pound it out until it's, you know, almost like a patch.
Schnitzel?
Yeah, like a schnitzel. Exactly correct. Salt, pepper. I do like sort of a lemon mustard on it and grill it up. It cooks up so fast. And, oh, my gosh, it's so delicious. Sorry to inject this right around New Year's Eve and during holiday week, but it's actually kind of healthy, too. Pork tenderloin is very low fat. So you're getting...
It's very lean. You're right.
Yeah. And so it's kind of healthy, and it's super tasty. And so now you got a couple of ways of doing your pork tenderloin. You've got a recipe up on the site also for a rotisserie prime rib. Boy, I've never done that. I would actually be scared to do that on the grill, but I bet it's so delicious.
You see that tomorrow morning.
We're going to do that tomorrow morning? Oh, I can't wait for that. Good. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be working already.
Good deal. We're going to do all these tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News. You want to check out any of these recipes that we've been talking about, WeberGrillRestaurant.com. If you go to their recipe section, and then you can just look up the recipes. Chef, Happy New Year to you, and I look forward to seeing you bright and early tomorrow morning on WGN-TV.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I'm honored that I understood this is probably the last segment of the New Year's for your radio segment, so very honored to be part of it. The relationship we have, Dean, is fantastic, and we want to continue that into 2025.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Happy New Year.
Chef Klaus Lauder. All right, that's coming up. Pre-game's coming up in about 8 or 9 minutes, something like that. We're going to get to a Sunday morning New Year's Eve tradition in just a moment or two. And a quick reminder that our top A-list interviews of the week will all be featured this coming week on WGN-TV Morning News, so I hope you'll tune in for that. New Year's Eve, Ella Fitzgerald style, next. This is it, our final show of 2024. Again, as we said earlier, thank you to all of you who listen and join us every Sunday morning. We really appreciate it. We love you. We love having fun with you. Andy, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Happy and healthy.
Likewise, Schwani, my pal.
Happy New Year to you, Dean, and Andy, and all the best listeners in the world, indeed.
Absolutely. I would appreciate if you hadn't dressed like the new baby of the new year, Schwani.
Glad you saw it, too.
Not disturbing something.
Oh, you didn't like the rattle?
Something worse. Is that what that is? It's a little disturbing. But happy New Year, my pal, and we wish you and everybody listening the very, very best in these crazy times that we're living. We just wish you all the happiest, safest, and least divisive new year that we possibly can have. Happy New Year, happy 2025. We hope it's a safe one for you. Thank you for listening.